What's shaking? Hey, I'm Rick Jordan. Today, we're going all in. All right. I'm reading in front of me life coach, mindset coach, business coach, keynote speaker. In my notes, it also said cybersecurity, which is like me, right? And then I see former pro skateboarder and poker player. I was like, holy cow, this guy is like me, except because I can list off like a filmmaker and all these other eclectic things, right? Former pastor. But today we're going to talk about some cool stuff, you know, because it's an interesting life that we lead and how we start to dabble in a lot of these things. And I can't wait to hear his story on how he got involved in all of these things. Philip Maranto, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you for having me.
You bet. Did I pronounce your last name right? I should have checked.
Yeah, that. Maranto.
Okay, I did. Yay. Awesome. I'm usually right freaking spot on. It's it's rare that I mess that up. But dude, I mean, I love all this stuff, right? Would you classify yourself really as an athlete that turned business? Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had two lives, and that definitely with the athletic life on one side and then the business life on the side. But it was more easier to paint the picture with the skateboarding stuff because the coverage and all that.
Yeah, right on. I talked with Austin Eckler's a friend of mine, right? And he just got signed to DC yesterday, which is cool.
But
He's getting into the, you know, one of the best running backs in the NFL, and he's starting to get into the business side too. You know, it's cool to see pro athletes, you know, and there's several others I talked to over the course of the last couple of years that will start in a national league or something like that, or in some other kind of pro sport, and then just branch into business. You know, like Michael Delagrange I met him at a bar at an event at Topgolf, and he's talking about how, you know, he's got the big old freaking championship ring on and all that, but then the guy built like an insurance empire after he got out of the league. Yeah. So it's like, this is so cool because so many, I'm sure you've seen this, like how many of your buddies, right, that you were skateboarding with just kind of like fell off the financial bandwagon after that stopped for them?
Yeah, a lot of buddies. I mean, definitely. I mean, I know a lot of industries can be difficult and stuff, but yeah, there's the finances could be difficult on the skateboarding side. There's only a few percentage of people that are actually making some decent amount of money.
For sure. And do you see many people actually like plan for life after?
To be honest, no. They kind of just get caught in the cycle of life, and wherever life throws them, they kind of just go that direction.
Like Taco Bell? I mean, I'm not being facetious. Like some probably like hit rock bottom too, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually sad. I just seen a video yesterday of like an old school professional skateboarder kind of homeless in LA right now looking for a job and stuff like that. And I'm sure you know that California is a very expensive place too, and that's kind of where the whole mecca is. But it's sad to see. And it's kind of like, you don't really have no guidance. It's not like they're being taught that. I mean, definitely today we're seeing a little bit more of people like a Rob Dyrdek or some of the bigger people that used to skateboard. So that's kind of opened some people's eyes, definitely. But yeah, you don't hear too much business talk. And I kind of seen it as like growing up, going in like distributions, getting free clothes and stuff like that. It's like, I was always just so fascinated with the business, like how they're operating and stuff like that. And most people are just on for the ride. Just, whatever they can get out of it and stuff. And I've always loved the business side of things.
That's a good position, brother. I mean, I commend you for that too. Cause I mean, if you look at, that's also like, even if you look at the music industry, you know, take a look at Taylor Swift, right? I mean, she's like, she could probably swing the election this year if she wanted to. She's that popular. But the reason she's that popular is because she started understanding the business of music rather than just doing and creating the music itself. Cause you still see a lot of talented musicians, dude. Like you go to Nashville or something like that, they're just playing on the side of the road, man. You know, because they don't think about the business aspect of what they're doing or the life after that number one hit. You know, it's like literally like the one hit wonders, you know? So that's good, dude. It's like, what would you, I mean, you're a mindset coach now and a life coach, business coach. What would you say to your buddies? You know, first off, let's be real, like because of your buddies, right? It's like our closest friends are the ones that probably listen to us the least.
Legit. That's very true.
You found that out too, huh?
Yeah. I mean, to some of the buddies is actually, I mean, something I even did in my life was just being more intentional where I want to go. Kind of, I was definitely a little naive, especially getting into some masterminds and getting more on the coaching side of the visualization of things. But that's all we do in skateboarding. We visualize a trick and we go execute it. So for them to start thinking.
So it's like in your brain first. Yeah, I don't mean to cut you up, but that you caught me with that. You know, so you're like seeing it in your head first and then you go out and do it.
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, me, Whoa. I've personally looked at things a lot of angles. So it's like when I'm looking, if you're like kind of familiar, but it's like I used to do more of the street skating where I'd hop on handrails, jump down stairs, gaps and stuff. And it's like you kind of visualize everything that like can go wrong to right. And you start to stare it up in your head and then you just go straight into action and see what happens.
And see what happens. That's kind of like business, right, bro?
Exactly.
For real. It's like, we'll try it. Let's see it. You know, if I fall flat on my face, whatever, you know.
And there's just so much lessons when you try things. And that's what I would like to see some more people is kind of zooming out and seeing a 5, 10, 20 year plan, kind of just making little different things of understanding where they can go and the life they can create. And kind of like I mentioned, just being more intentional with stuff has really helped me never realize how we just get caught in cycles of stuff and blink an eye. And there goes a year, 2 years, 5 years. Even a decade sometimes.
For real, man. And I mean, it doesn't even just apply to like pro sports either, because it's like I saw this quote one time. It's like, you're not meant to just go to work, pay bills and die, you know, and that's the cycle. So I can see that even with pro athletes to where it's like, that's the season that they're in. And it's like when life stops, like, well, I guess it's literally life stops when their time is done in the sport. Because that is a fixed amount of time in any pro sport, dude. It's a fixed amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. That's something like there's that short window and stuff. And sometimes, you know, I mean, a lot of athletes, they deal with the identity crisis coming off their career. I mean, sometimes it's crazy, even with me, like doing something for 25 years and then just, well, it's out the window and you got to try to do something new. It's like, man, this is kind of how I've basically built myself in some ways. This is all I know. So it can definitely be difficult coming off something you've done your whole life.
For sure, brother. What would you say to your buddies now that, you know, I mean, even like young ones coming up in the sport or any sport, it's like outside of being intentional, you know, like what's tactical, you know, how do you pull them from the matrix to be like, listen, this is going to come to an end and then you're going to have a whole nother season in life.
Well, kind of like you mentioned a little bit earlier with artists and stuff, I feel the same thing with skateboarding is now everything's coming personal branding. And if people can build up that personal brand and stuff, that can turn into a lot more opportunities. Like even me, I mean, I don't mention it too much, but I got out on a couple, I was like a stunt coordinator for actually Macaulay Culkin's brother.
Oh, cool.
Stuff like, it was a movie called Electric Children, but it was just super cool. So it's like those things you can start to look at different avenues and what skating can do for you and stuff. And just taking those skill sets and characteristics and trying to do something else. But then just kind of like seeing what it like you enjoy, you know what I mean? I like to, sometimes you get caught up in so much making money. It's like, well, what about the process of enjoying it? And just like, I mean, being born out here in Vegas, there's a lot of money coming in and out of this town. And some of these buddies, man, they make a lot of money, but they're just so stressed out and stuff like that. So for me, I mean, I can only hope that people don't have too many limiting beliefs and anything they really can create, as long as they're willing to put in the work, I think they could achieve it. So
you said a cool phrase there, man, limiting belief. You know, it's something I've used over and over again. Can you dive into that a little bit? Like what does that mean to you?
Well, the crazy thing is like growing up, to be honest, when I heard the word belief, I actually thought more religion.
Yeah.
And like now starting to realize everything, the way we operate, the way we see things comes from a belief or a meaning we're giving it. So to me, it was just starting to understand, what do I even believe in? Why the like getting kind of more deeper in the way I act, do the things I do, things I like the way I be and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, limiting beliefs are everything. Once we start to realize everything we're operating is from a belief, you start to kind of peel those layers apart and start to get a little more, why do you even believe in these things? Because even me, it's like, I did so many other things, but skateboarding, I really believe in then. And just the joy it brought me, the fulfillment and stuff like that. I truly do also with the crazy life I was kind of raised in, like I duly, truly believe skateboarding also saved my life in some ways.
Oh yeah. How's that?
Yeah. So, I mean,
like I look at you and it's just intuition, right? And it's kind of like, I almost feel like you've seen a lot of stuff. You know,
I have
some rough stuff.
Definitely. My father had me at 47. So coming into his life at that age, I was always around a lot of older people. My brothers are in their 50s. So, and then kind of growing up, a lot of my buddies, I was that guy like not being told to go home at 12, 11. I was out till 12, 13, or 12, 1 in the morning with older buddies, always getting them in trouble with the delinquency of minors and tickets like that and stuff. But I've always learned from older people, to be honest. So skateboarding to me brought lot of fulfillment in a lot of ways, but then it's like, I feel like if I was fully on the business life and all the stuff I was kind of raised around, I can only imagine, I don't know where I'd be today. So I truly believe like skateboarding gave me that balance, got to travel, meet a lot of people, which is cool. A lot of different, types of life, and just traveling and stuff. So it was really cool and stuff.
Yeah. It sounds like from what you're saying that it gave you structure. You know, because it seemed like prior to that, you know, with where your dad was at and everything being 47, it's like you didn't have a lot of structure growing up.
Yeah, exactly. And then as much as it was too, poker brought a lot of structure in my life. I was
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, like I was the guy selling fake IDs as a young kid out here in Las Vegas and sneaking into casinos, playing high cash limit games very young. But just even seeing that industry change from the early 2000s to where it's at today, I'm seeing a lot more younger people.
Yeah.
Same thing in skateboarding. Girls are amazing today. You didn't see too many girls growing up skating. Now they're in the Olympics.
That's cool.
So it's just super cool to see how much it's expanded over the years, realistically. Yeah.
When's the WNBA going to take off? You know,
I know. We actually, our team last year won it, I guess, in Vegas.
That's awesome. I take a look at that because there's a lot of cool sports that women are getting into, right? And they're starting to get recognition around all those things. But it's like the staples. Yeah. It's like, I don't think the WNBA is really growing. You know, it's like, what's going on with that? You know, whereas it's like all these awesome other sports, like the non-traditionals, you know, not the skateboarding is like that nobody knows about it, but it's something that, you know, it's not really televised on, you know, like ESPN 1, you know,
that's true. Yeah.
Like ESPN 8 or something like that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, it's
I think back to, have you ever seen Dodgeball?
I have.
Yeah.
With Ben Stiller.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why they like ESPN 8, the Ocho, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, the weird crap that pops into my head. Anyways, yeah, dude, I can see what you're saying there. Because, I mean, regardless, it's like whether it's poker, whether it's, you know, skateboarding, I think if people, you know, and you're a mindset coach, I think if people can find the structure in a structureless world, that'll help them focus in a direction that's towards their dreams and their visions.
Yeah. Definitely. And then just also understanding the way the structure of our brain works has helped me out tremendously. I mean, we're not really taught these things. And a lot of things that we've learned in the last 20 years have been a lot faster than the 100 years previous and stuff. Yeah. So a lot of things, I mean, I was really raised to can't teach an old dog new tricks. And this is the life that chose us with my father and stuff like that. And kind of now just changing the whole structure of that and the beliefs I used to give it, the meaning I used to give it. And, that's why I'm like, I've always been on the consulting side, but the coaching has just been a way different approach and stuff, especially when you're getting like deep with someone one-on-one, creating a desired outcome for them or like a blueprint for their desired outcomes and stuff. So it's been fun, man. I really love it. I really enjoy it. I mean, I was doing coaching with like skateboarding and stuff like that. And I've always been like a person people came to for advice. Same thing with my father, watching him, a lot of people coming to him for relationships, advice, business. So that's kind of a lot of, that's why I'm like, I really didn't watch my dad go to like a 9-to-5 or nothing. He's always been an entrepreneur, always a businessman. And it kind of was complete opposite with my mother. So it's like, got to see a little bit of both sides and stuff. But like one thing I do appreciate with my father a lot was just looking at stuff outside the box.
Yeah.
It's been really cool. Yeah. A lot of different angles. When some people are just so stuck in one lane, I can look at things a lot of different views in a very short period of time.
Yeah. From the way you talk about your dad, it sounds like you still really hold him in high regard.
Yeah. No, I mean, it sucks because when you look back, it's usually a lot of the pain we focus on and a lot of things I did go through, but I wouldn't change it, man. Like there was so many great things I did learn from him. It's just what I was raised in and it kind of did make me the person I am today, but I just don't feel like when it comes to like the abuse physically and emotionally, just being around violence, drugs, crime, all those things in a younger age. I mean, no kid should really witness those type of things, my opinion, but it also made me grow up pretty fast. And, cause I was already on my own by the age of 16, got homeschooled, was already teaching myself, and was making a decent amount of money very young. So that was a little bit like different from like the crypto days where we see all these like teenagers making hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars today. Just 15, 20 years ago, it was kind of like crazy to hear that. Like, oh man, you're making six figures before you even got out of school. And I'm just like, yeah.
No joke. I'm listening. It's when did you first start skateboarding? Obviously in your teens, right? Or even younger?
Yeah. So I mean, in the beginning, I felt like if you remember that show Rocket Power, I felt like a little Rocket Power kid. Yeah. Just like snowboard. It was more like I got in like deep to mountain biking. I was doing all these sports, playing baseball, but skateboarding, one of the things I really enjoy, because I did enjoy baseball and some other things, but like baseball, bike riding, those are some things you actually don't need a team. So it's actually you're by yourself. Yeah, you're doing it by yourself. And sometimes it was just me and my board in the world and just going off. But I want to say right around age 9 and 10, because I was like rollerblading at first, and then got really into skateboarding. But luckily, how small the world was, there was actually a professional skateboarder. His name was Kenny Anderson. He lived in my neighborhood. So kind of seeing him and then like the way he like built out a life, it kind of showed me like, damn, this is very possible. I can do this too. Actually make a career and a living out of it. Back in the day when I, as much as I love mountain biking, there wasn't really a career in it. There wasn't too many sponsors, wasn't too much competitions. And I remember I broke my collarbone on my mountain bike and I was like, you know what? Anything I'm going to break is going to be on my skateboard now. I need to just do everything. So that's when I tripled down on skateboarding. And kind of like I mentioned, I started traveling. I was already kind of like winning contests at the age of 13. So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. It's like you're in my brain because I was just thinking, I'm like, I wonder if you broke anything and how bad it was. Like, I'm sure you did.
But I mean, I don't have no wood around me, but like luckily, for how long I did skateboard, I didn't have, the way I beat up my body, of course, was bad, but I didn't have injuries like some of my buddies, the restructured knees and torn ACLs and stuff like that. I'm in the best shape of my life, but I've definitely have messed up my body. It's not the same.
Yeah, for real. What's one of the worst that you had?
Really? Nothing like crazy, like I said, with my buddies, but I mean, just like always like broken fingers, hyperextended elbows, my hips, like, so I have heel spurs, a plantatious fishy, I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's something to do with the tissue in your heels. All my steps are just like, I always feel like I'm burning when I'm walking. So I have a lot of like tissue damage. I don't have too much tissue in my hips anymore from all like the landing and rolling. And then I wish, I've banged my head a few times, like concussions and stuff like that. But it's nothing too crazy. Like I said, some of my buddies, they've gone through some crazy surgeries and stuff like that. So I've been pretty blessed.
That's awesome, brother. When you started transitioning out of skateboarding, right? Because we talked about that fixed time, you know, what were you thinking? What was the thought process? Like, I want to help people. I want to coach people.
So what really kind of got me into coaching, actually, so like right around 25 to 27, I was actually being told I was too old to pursue my skateboarding career.
Wow.
And it kind of started hitting me off guard, and I did kind of fall into that victimized.
It's young. It comes up quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I'm like, we kind of went through that transition of they would push people really hard because there's like an amateur and then there's a professional, and it's kind of similar other than the contracts and maybe having your name on like a skateboard and shoe, but there's amateurs out here that are sometimes making more than professionals. And they're like the whole transition of like YouTube, like skateboarding used to make a lot of money through video sales. And then YouTube came through. Yeah. So there was all these like, and then they started to realize with social media and stuff, some of these kids are with all the big followings. So like this, next thing you know, they're turning 16, 17 year old pros because that's how they're going to make money off them and stuff. Yep. But, really wasn't too much of that. I mean, skating was a big part of it, but from 24 to 28, I had a lot of business deals, skateboarding, a lot of things that I was involved with started falling apart. Mm. I lost my mom, my grandma, my dad passed away. So there was just a lot of things. I kind of got caught in a bad trajectory, in my opinion. I was kind of going down the wrong path. And luckily I caught myself right around 28. That's when I started to really look into personal development, a little bit into therapy. I tried a little bit into the therapy, but to be honest, the way it was going, they already tried to like put me on drugs. And I was kind of explaining to them like, hey, I know I can be messed up and I have lived a pretty crazy life, especially like going through life and death situations, overcoming drugs, in situations like that. But what really piqued my interest is once I did it for myself, and of course, I think it's going to be something I'll be working on until the day I die, but I did 2 years of just fully engaging into myself and just wanting to become the best person. And then kind of once I seen the change in myself, I started to realize I'm like, man, this is something I missed in a lot of business I was involved in, a lot of meetings. I never really seen like the structure, people talking like anything about personal development, guys never really talking about emotions, although most of our decisions come from an emotional standpoint of view. So, And then when I looked into the industry of coaching, seemed to be a lot more girl dominated. And when I started to look at like a lot of categories, everything was at its highest. And not to down talk anyone, because there's some amazing people that I've learned off and there's great people out there. But I just kind of looked at all the numbers when I seen everything at the highest, from depression, anxiety, obesity, PTSD, everything. I was like, you can't tell me these people are doing a good job.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I'm like,
I love your perspective, man.
Yeah. It's just like, I was just like, man, like it's
we have
like
more coaches than ever.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of people preaching what they're not doing behind closed doors and stuff.
Yeah.
But, that's kind of was like, after I kind of went through that, I was just like, man, like I really have always had a passion. And now kind of going through that, I think that's more of my mission today, is to help some people and just overcome. And then tying the curriculum to a lot of my experiences have really helped on like the coaching side, just because there's a lot of things I didn't know, you know what I mean? How to approach people. I mean,
sure.
I was used to be pretty blunt and just kind of say what was on my mind, but now it's more listening and not just saying what I think, kind of doing it more from a coaching and more interested point of view with people and stuff.
You allowed your passion to bloom, man, and get that out of you for other people.
Yeah. And then kind of what you mentioned earlier, I started zooming out, kind of like what we mentioned, like what I would tell some of my buddies is started looking at my life, like, how do I want my late 30s and 40s to be? And you know what I mean? I hope to have a kid one day. I don't know if I will, but I hope to do. And I just want to make sure that I just never bring a kid into a life that I was in and stuff like that. And sometimes we want a lot of change, but when you're doing the same shit, your kid's just going to be a reflection of you. Like, I literally was just a modernized version of my father. I used to look at it. I used to kind of tell him I'm the better version of him.
That's great. That's cool, brother. I'm thinking back. It's like, if I were to like summarize our convo today, it's like, I think everything in life has a season, you know, whether it's in pro sports or whatever else, it's like, you're never going to have something that lasts your entire life.
You
know,
yeah, that's true.
Any kind of involvement in anything, you know, because I mean, how many people do you know actually like get pensions these days, you know, stay 30 years somewhere? You know,
yeah.
It's like the average individual is going to have, I think, like 21 jobs or something like that in their life.
My father kind of was used to like, it's crazy because like even going younger in school, like I told people I'm not going to college. I'd be the person to open up a college before I go to college, and just always had that mindset. And even with my father, it's like, you really care about a pension if you had $20 million, $30 million. Yeah. So I've always had that, that outside view of like, okay, maybe what we're told is not sometimes the right, or no one say that, but it's just looking different direction and what fits for you.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think of like government employees these days too. It's like, they're going for that pension. That's like 3 million, as you said, you know, it's like, what really is 3 million? You know, cause I'm thinking, it's like, if I'm 44, you know, or even let's say 5 million, you know, 20 years from now, when I'm 21 years from now, when I'm 65, what does 5 million actually give me?
Yeah. No, it's very true.
Not much. Cause I mean, over like 20 years, you know, let's pretend I live until 85. It's like 5 million ends up becoming like $200,000 a year or something like that, you know, but
yeah. And that's how I've always looked at things too.
But it's like 200K today, you know, we're looking at it that way on an annual basis. It's really like 100K 20 years from now with how inflation happens and everything. It's like 5 million is not a lot of money to have away for any kind of retirement fund.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And also, it's like, even if people touch that 5 million, a lot of them don't know what to do with it or how to make it work for them.
Right on.
I mean, there's definitely three things: the money, you got to make it, keep it, and then duplicate it.
Yeah, bingo. Dude, that's a perfect spot to end for real, because I mean, that's brilliant. That's like mic drop moment. Make it, keep it, and what was the last?
Duplicate it.
Duplicate it. Yeah. I love it, brother. Yeah, I can see, because I mean, it's like, I didn't even get to like the part on your sheet here that says like, you're known for your grit, obviously, you know, but then it goes into like your charm, and it's like, that's one of the things, dude, that I see about you. And it's like, when I could see you, you can see a lot of calm, you know, and I bet you that wasn't always the case going what you went through. So you can tell the work that you put in. You're like a testament to what you're teaching other people. It's pretty cool.
No, I greatly appreciate that. Yeah. When you're raising chaos, you're always looking for the calm.
Yeah. Right on, my man. Well, thank you, brother. Everybody can find you at the People's Life Coach and then thepeoplslifecoach.com. Philip, you're an amazing dude. I appreciate
Thank you, man.
Good
you vibe. Too, brother. I like everything. I mean, the more I've read in everything I've read about you too, man, I'm like, looking forward to connecting more with you down the road,
for
man.
Sure,
so I just want to say thank you for everything.
You bet, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.